This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right.
Bit of George Harrison. Remember that? Here Comes the Sun. I thought it was a beautiful song. I loved it. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We always have sun, at least inside the station for a while. I am indeed Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Sonny Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Monday, August the 14th, as we barrel through the summer. We got a lot going on this morning. In a few minutes, Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be with us. And we're going to talk about changes to the Davis-Bacon Act. Now, a lot of people don't know or don't remember that, but the act that determines the prevailing wage on federal work projects and why those changes are more political than accurate. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And our liberal news sites, are they coming around to admit that Hunter Biden may be engaged in criminal activity? Are they finally starting to see the light? We're going to take a look at what CNN's Jake Tapper had to say about Hunter Biden on his Sunday show yesterday, so stay tuned for that. And we are going to give you the number one city that residents are thinking of leaving because of the crime factor. Because of the crime factor. Let's see if you can figure it out before I tell you what it is a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, a good one, the top 10 oldest current members in Congress, in the House of Representatives, towards the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Men, best place for a haircut in Tampa Bay, in my humble opinion, is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. You got to call first for your appointment. It's worth it. It's worth it. 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. And we're sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, you name it. If it has to do with a tree, it's Arbor Life. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, would you? 727-330-1999. So, Ed, I don't know if you watch a lot of the talk shows on Sunday. I flip around, and I like to watch some of them. And typically, the difference between what Fox News is talking about politically and, say, MSNBC or CNN are light years apart. You would think they were two different planets, what they talk about. But CNN's Jake Tapper is now questioning President Biden's judgment amid his repeated claims that his wonderful son Hunter had done nothing wrong in his business dealings. Tapper is finally starting to say, well, you know what, maybe Biden should stop saying things like that. While interviewing Representative Dan Goldman on his show yesterday, Goldman is a Democrat from New York, Tapper brought up the latest development in the Hunter Biden probe with the appointment of David Weiss to be the special prosecutor. Now, every Republican that heard David Weiss was going to be the special prosecutor howled in outrage over that. David Weiss is the same character that for the past 5 years has brought up nothing but a slap on the wrist for Hunter Biden, a slap that this judge said, what are you doing, and dismissed it. Mm-hmm. So he now wants this guy to be the special prosecutor. He thinks that that's going to, he thinks it's going to satisfy people. So Tapper's talking about it, and he noted that Biden has repeatedly said his son, quote, has done nothing wrong in media interviews, you know, all the time. He said, I understand this is a dad talking about his son, but it's also the president of the United States talking about a potential defendant in a case that his Justice Department is prosecuting. He said, also, he's about to plead guilty to some of the things he did wrong. Does the president need to stop publicly saying his son did nothing wrong? Oh, no. Just keep on talking about it, right? Now, Tapper is very liberal, and CNN, as we all know, if we watch any of this stuff, is a very liberal network. They hardly even talk about the Hunter Biden story. Mm-hmm. It's all bad Donald Trump all the time stuff, you know. And I guess Trump may be on his, what, his third indictment coming up now with the Atlanta?
Georgia, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I still believe that I believe the Democrats have a plan. And that's, and I think Weiss actually helps this whole deal, because I think they would like Biden to go down slowly. Not hard, but slow. Slow enough that he has to back out of the race. Like I said, they don't want him to run. If he backs out, that takes care of Kamala Harris, too.
Does it?
What is she going to do? Is she going to run? Well, then she'd have to run for president, not vice president.
Yeah, maybe you're right. In other words, he's going to back out of running.
Yes, just enough to get him to back out. And mm-hmm. then they can introduce someone else.
Yeah.
It has to be soon. It's got to be within 6 months.
No, I think you may be right. I think Democrats, those that have any common sense, see that Biden can barely talk, and it's going to be very hard to reelect him.
But like I said, I don't think he'll just bow out saying, you know, listen, my son's a creep, and I took money, and you know, I mysteriously got $20 million in my account. I just think that maybe it was always the athlete that didn't want to retire. It came to the, oh, I'm gonna spend time with my family. I'm just not.
Yeah, I'm not going to admit they can't do it anymore.
Yeah. So right. I think he backs out.
Huh? I think you may be right. By the way, this just crossed the wire this morning, just as we were preparing the show. An FBI agent says the Biden transition team was tipped off by the FBI on plans to interview Hunter Biden. Are we surprised that they were tipping people off left? They tipped off Hunter Biden and Joe Biden that they were going to examine the classified documents. You remember that? Right. They got tipped off on that.
This is what gives my theory solidity, in the fact that whenever there's a conspiracy theory, I don't believe it. You know why? Because it's just like that. Nobody can hold a secret.
Yeah.
Nobody. It's always leaked out.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
You can't get three people in a room and get them to
keep their mouth shut.
Exactly.
No, yeah. I agree. I agree with you. An FBI supervisory agent has told congressional investigators that the Biden transition team and the Secret Service were tipped off in 2020 about a planned interview of Hunter, a tip-off that resulted in the interview being called off.
Listen, if the Democrats for the last 5 years have been throwing everything they can at Trump, there's got to be some sort of truthfulness to this thing. It has to be.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if it's not the Dems, it's the FBI and what they've been doing.
Well, the FBI has been totally
unreal. What is going on?
It scares you when the things that we held at the pinnacle, like the FBI, you know, and now we find out that all the people running around at the top of the FBI are covering things up. It scares the dickens out of me. Yeah. It really does. Okay, we're going to take our break, and we're going to change topics when we get back. Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. We're going to talk about changes to the Davis-Bacon Act. This is the act that determines the prevailing wage on federal construction projects, and why those changes are really more political than they are accurate.
Make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday on Freedom Works, and one of our favorite guests, Sean Higgins, is with us. He is a research fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. He specializes in labor and employment issues. He's always kept busy, and we're going to talk about the Biden administration's changes to the Davis-Bacon Act and its wage rules. Now, a lot of people, Sean, don't know much about the Davis-Bacon Act. I know that you know a great deal about it. In fact, back last year, you sent a letter representing the Competitive Enterprise Institute opposing the Labor Department's proposed changes to the Davis-Bacon Act. Can you kind of tell us, first of all, how the act got started, what it's all about, and what's going on right now with it?
Yeah, happy to do so. The Davis-Bacon Act is the federal law that sets the wages for any federal contract that's bidded out. In other words, if you're going to do this job for the federal government that they're looking for a contractor on, you have to agree to pay your workers the prevailing wage for this type of work locally, and the prevailing wage is determined by the Labor Department's Wage and Hour Division. The reason why the law is sort of exists is basically to ensure that anybody who bids on a federal project is paying their workers a good wage, which usually translates to whatever the union wage is locally. The real reason for it then is to essentially make it to eliminate any economic advantage you'd have if you're a non-union employer from being able to bid on a federal contract, because you're going to have to pay your workers a union wage even if they're not unionized.
Yeah.
If you're going to be able to get that job. Now, what's happened is the administration has changed the rules on this slightly, so that determining what that prevailing wage is a little going to be, well, sort of more loosey-goosey. Previously, you had to survey like a majority of the employers in the area and find out what they're paying and use that as the basis for that prevailing wage. Now they only need to do 30%, according to this new change in the rule, which means that there's more basically leeway to fudge the numbers and sort of push the wages up even higher, which again advantages the unions.
In other words, if the way that the Davis-Bacon Act was originally set up was that, let's say I want to do a construction project, for sake of argument, in Idaho, and I would need to look around to see what the general prevailing payment was for construction workers in that area in Idaho, as opposed to, say, New York, and maybe what right. the prevailing wage might be, because I would guess that maybe in New York, the workers would be paid a little bit more, maybe the cost of living is a little bit higher. Was that the intent of the Davis-Bacon Act?
Well, it was, yeah. I mean, in general, yes. I mean, but the to me. Yeah. Good one. But yeah. The direction that's meant to be is the wages that unions are paying, and to ensure that even if you're employing workers who are not unionized, you have to pay them what you would have to pay a union. So you might as well be unionized.
So in other words, just to protect union jobs as opposed,
yes,
as opposed to those places where, you know, they're not using union workers. Okay. So that's actually what it's all about. When did it start? In the Carter administration, the Davis-Bacon Act?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, what is the Biden administration? Now, like a year ago in May, you sent a letter opposing the Department of Labor's proposed changes. But has the Biden administration decided to go ahead with those changes, and what exactly are the changes?
They have gone ahead and done it. Basically, this is what's called a federal rulemaking, and the way it works is the federal government is allowed to essentially write the rules for what the laws Congress passes, and they have to do it according to a particular formula. It's called the Administrative Procedures Act. Basically, you have to dot the I's and cross the T's, and they've done that, and they've announced what the rule is going to be. Essentially, it's sort of a long process. People are allowed to comment on it, but the administration is basically allowed to ignore those comments. We've got to the stage where they've just announced, okay, this is what we want the rule to be, and we're going to go into effect. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go into effect. It's expected to be challenged by the Chamber of Commerce and other business groups, and we'll see how the courts look at it.
I see. So they haven't implemented these rules yet. There's going to be this period of discussion, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to raise the rate again, the prevailing wage rate? Is that the whole intent of this, to placate unions, or what?
Well, by making it 30% as opposed to a majority of all workers, in other words, previously they had to survey most employers out there and find out what they're paying. Now they only need to survey 30%.
Oh.
What that means is it gives them more leeway to saying, well, this is what the median wage is, and therefore they can push it up higher than it might actually be. It basically just gives them leeway to sort of fudge around with the numbers or cherry pick the employers.
Yeah. So in other words, we can come up with a phony. I mean, you can almost pick and choose your 30%, can't you?
Exactly. That's the issue, and that's the concern. And that's what I believe they're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Sean Higgins. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He specializes in labor and employment issues. And we're talking about the Biden's attempt to change in some ways the prevailing wage rules in the Davis-Bacon Act, an act that's been around since the Carter administration. Of course, you know, here...
I misspoke when I said that earlier.
Sure.
It's not the Carter administration. It goes back to the Truman era.
Oh, well, I led you on the wrong way. I asked you if it was Carter. Davis-Bacon goes all the way back to Harry Truman. Oh, wow. Okay. So it's been around for a while. And when it was first created back then, I take it back in the 40s, late 40s.
Yes.
Was there anything going on? Were the union? What was the environment like then, Sean? If I might ask, that brought about the were the unions just fearful at that time that they were losing their clout?
Yeah. Well, this came a couple of years after the Taft-Hartley amendments to the National Labor Relations Act, which allowed things like right-to-work laws. Previously, some states had passed them, but it was unclear as to whether or not they were legal. The Taft-Hartley amendments said that they were. Those and some other changes, which essentially rolled back some of the aspects of the National Labor Relations Act that had been enforced under the Roosevelt administration and early in the Truman administration. Essentially what happened was the Republicans briefly gained control of the House, and they pushed some changes to the Democratic regulations. And this happened after that, which was the unions pushing back against that. So it's sort of part of the sort of push-pull of politics.
Got it.
There was a lot of turmoil back then. There was a recession going on. We were having a difficult transition from the wartime economy back to a peacetime economy. So there was just a lot of turmoil happening in the manufacturing industry, and it sort of reflects that.
Got it. Now, you know, unions over the last several years have been losing members. And I suspect the same situation maybe applies in the construction industry, but we know that the federal government always uses union members to do any of its federal projects. So that's keeping the unions going. But are they still, despite all of that, is the construction industry still becoming less unionized?
It's still heavily unionized. As you say, the union numbers are heading down generally. In the sort of the old line industries, particularly manufacturing, skilled trades, they're still heavily represented. But the problem is that is shrinking as a percentage of the overall economy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as new economies and new economic sectors have sprung up, those haven't been unionized. So these ones sort of are kind of the legacy ones that continue to exist. And as a consequence, a lot of these sort of activity, whenever an administration wants to do anything to help a union, they tend to do things that involve some of these old line industries.
Yeah. So we're still in the phase of people being able to discuss these changes. Do you think that that's going to do any good? I mean, do you think the Biden administration is going to be able to kind of push through what they want to push through regardless? Or do you think that maybe the Chamber of Commerce and some of these other organizations will have enough clout to be able to make at least maybe some changes to what's going
on? When I say, yeah, the discussion part is officially is over.
Mm-hmm.
David, this is the final rule they put out. This is what they say the rule is going to be.
Okay.
The question is that some of these business trade associations are likely to challenge it in court.
Oh, I see.
And so it's likely to be stuck in court for a while. But as far as the official federal rulemaking part,
so it's done.
That's finished.
Are they kind of still waiting for the challenges, the legal challenges, or have they're, you know, it's disseminated and away they go right now?
I believe it's supposed to be going into effect, but you know, it's basically done on a contract by contract basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether or not individually they're sort of looking at it this way is the other thing you have to understand is it's the federal government that actually determines what these sort of prevailing wages are through its wage and hour division. So they just need to tell their own folks to start saying, this is what you figure out for the prevailing wage in terms of whether or not that gets to be challenged or a court puts a stop on it, we'll have to see.
Yeah. Do you think the courts overall are a little bit more, likely to consider some of these challenges because of, you know, the way things have been going with the inflation and our concern about our national debt and, you know, all of the things economically? Do you think that maybe the courts would indeed be listening a little bit more only because of the concern there?
As to how much the courts actually sort of look at what the actual like GDP and economic trends are, I don't know. I mean, they typically don't have much of a history of paying attention to that type of stuff. Judges mm-hmm. are judges, and they just sort of look at the law. One of the advantages that the administration has in this new rule is that it's not without precedent. You know, this was the 30% rule that I've discussed was something that was used from the Carter years in decades previously. It was the Reagan administration that said, no, if it's going to be the prevailing wage, it's got to be a majority. It's got to be a clear majority of what employers pay. And they switched it to that. The Biden administration has pushed it back to this old 30% standard, which did exist previously. And their argument was, well, where there's a precedent for this, so therefore it's okay. And whether or not the court accept that remains to be seen.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, always interesting to talk with you, Sean. You know, these are the kinds of things make a great deal of difference, but sometimes they go under the radar a little bit with everything else going on. Thank you so very much. Look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Happy to be on. Happy to explain. I hope I did a good job.
You did. You always do. Thanks, Sean. All right. Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Very good. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we are going to give you, among other things, we're going to give you the number one city that residents are thinking of leaving. Leaving because of the crime situation.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday. Freedom Works. And we thank you so very much for listening to us. We would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about that tragedy that's going on in Hawaii. That's just absolutely so sad. The last I heard, probably it's well over 100 people now that are dead. The last figures I got was like 93, but I'm sure there are more than that. The search has...
The events that went on, I know that they're upset that they didn't get any sirens or anything like that, and a warning. But the fire being so close to the water that people had to jump into the water on the shore and in the rocks and stuff and stay in there for 4 or 5 hours until the and there's today they're still picking bodies out and on the wall and the seawall. And
that's horrible. Their governor, Josh Green, said yesterday that global warming played a major role in the wildfire there. And he spoke about the devastation. There's a town called Lahaina, and he described the wildfire as a fire hurricane with gusting winds. And there had been a typhoon or a hurricane that had gone by, not hitting the island, but the winds that were whipped up because of it, you know.
Well, you can add conspiracy theories are now surfacing, too, because... That area, Front Street, very a lot of money there. And they were in some sort of odds with something. And could have been somebody had started the fires to wipe out the town. And that's all starting up now. And, you know,
they really don't know yet.
No. Let's
they
find
may
out.
Find out.
Let's find the people first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get aid to the people.
Oh,
get them,
of course.
And then we'll figure this thing out. But everybody's got to know now, you know?
Yep. Yeah, no, it's absolutely, absolutely horrible. We have our buddy, our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo Ceresi, with us. So much going on, Angelo, these days. How you doing?
Pretty good, thank you. How's everybody down in Florida?
Well, we don't know how everybody is. I can tell you that Ed and I are holding our own, but we're doing well. So much going on. I was going to talk a little bit about crime in some of these cities, and maybe I'll tell you this story while we have you on the line. There's a new national survey. And it shows that a certain city leads the nation in the percentage of people who feel pressured to leave because of crime concerns. I want to see, Angela, if you have any idea what city that might be. It's a major city, I'll tell you that.
Chicago?
It's one of them, but it's not the number one. Go a little further west, like out to the coast.
Oh, Seattle?
Yeah. Seattle, Washington. Data from Household Pulse Survey, conducted by the Census Bureau and several other agencies, show that 7% of adults in the greater Seattle area have, quote, felt pressure to move, unquote, due to crime in the last 6 months. Remember, weren't they the ones that had a big to-do about shutting down the police and defunding the police and all that kind of nonsense?
Yeah, plus they had those riots in 2020, right, with the city of Chop.
There you go.
I mean, and then the mayor at the time, I guess, or the governor, she was a woman governor, I think it was.
It might have been the mayor. Mm-hmm.
They were going to have the summer of love.
Yes. Well, it's horrible. Homicides skyrocketed up by 24% last year in Seattle. 24%.
Quite a jump.
While motor vehicle deaths climbed 30%, and overall crime went up 4% in the Emerald City. So there you go, you know. Don't defund the police. That's the first rule of law. Second thing is, don't let people out without bail money.
Rochester is almost like that, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, we've got some crime. They say crime is going down, but who knows? You know, I mean, there is no talk of defunding the police here. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
In the beginning, there was they were talking that, you know, when it was really fashionable to talk about it. You know, Rochester's a Democratic city, a sanctuary city. In fact, they had, it was a 77 asylum seekers, so to speak, you know, arrived last Monday.
And let everybody know you're in Rochester, New York, not Rochester, Minnesota, by the way.
Rochester, New York.
Yeah. You're not that close, fortunately, I would say, to the Big Apple, right?
No, we're a few hours away.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yep.
In fact, you're closer to Canada than you are to New York City, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very close to the Canadian border.
Just a few miles away.
Yep.
So,
about 60-some odd miles away.
So what do you think about this federal, the Attorney General Merrick Garland coming out and saying that this David Weiss is now going to be the special prosecutor in the Hunter Biden and Joe Biden probe?
Well, isn't that a joke, since this guy Weiss was the one that came up with the dream thing for Hunter Biden in the beginning?
Yep. He's the one that came up with colluding with the Hunter Biden defense team to get him off without any jail time. And fortunately, the judge kiboshed it.
So my understanding, they have Joe Biden's bank records, don't they?
They do have
that shows the large deposits being put into his account, Hunter's account.
Yeah, that's where they're going to catch him with all that money isn't taxed. Remember we talked about that's how they got Capone.
You don't need
Capone used to launder all his money, but they got him for not paying income tax. I think that's what's going to happen.
You don't need a special prosecutor for that. Somebody get him and turn him loose. We leak everything else out.
They won't leak that because it's Joe Biden. Media is not questioning it whatsoever. I mean, this guy Weiss, I mean, he's been in the administration for quite a while, hasn't he? I mean, with the
here's another thing. From what I understand, the special prosecutor, the rule for a special prosecutor is it's supposed to be somebody outside the government. Weiss is a part of the whole investigation inside the government. Isn't Merrick Garland ignoring the rule?
Oh, he's as corrupt as can be.
In other words, can they not maybe go and say, legally this is not something you can do? Can they maybe take some legal action and say you got to name somebody outside of the government?
Well, they're saying all this stuff about Atlanta, Georgia now, bringing all this stuff up. Every time something comes up with Hunter Biden or President Biden, they bring up Donald Trump, the theory that he's going to be charged again with something in Atlanta, Georgia, with the election tampering and this and that. So, you know, but the Merrick Garland is as corrupt can be as can be. Everything he is doing is protecting the president and Hunter Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Every move that he makes, every announcement that he says, you know, he's looking, he's protecting the president.
I think everybody's starting to see it.
I would hope so, because, I mean, what they're doing here to this country, they're tearing this country apart. Like I said, I cannot believe the American people cannot see. They would, you know, like 45% will still vote for this joker. You know?
They don't.
45% will still vote for this guy.
They don't see because they only, some Americans only believe what they see in the media, what they turn on the TV, and it depends on what station you want, when you watch, as to what's really going on.
All three major networks are for Biden.
Well, they're still ignoring, for the most part. I mean, they were forced to talk about the special prosecutor thing.
Yeah, but they
were forced to. But then they dropped it like a hot potato.
Right.
They now they continue to stomp on. They continue to stomp on Donald Trump with all of the indictment stories.
Well, the day of the whistleblowers. That day, CNN's top news was the soccer results.
Yes.
The women's soccer results.
Yes.
Instead of what the whistleblowers were saying.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like I said, the three major networks, they put the kibosh on Trump. They don't care. They want to see him hang. They want to see him go to prison. And the three major networks are not doing their job of going after Biden and the stuff that the crimes that he has committed when he was senator and when he was vice president and everything else.
Yeah,
we're talking here about the secret files that he had, you know, tossed into his Corvette there in the garage.
Yeah,
right?
Yep. We're talking with our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, I don't know if you heard us at the start of the show. One of our first stories was about Jake Tapper. He's a CNN host, has a Sunday show. And he actually started talking about how Joe Biden should quit talking about his son doing nothing wrong. And the fact that maybe some of these people on these liberal networks are indeed starting to face the facts that Biden can't just sit there and go, I know nothing about this anymore, when it's clear that he does know something about it. You know, and when CNN starts to say that Biden should stop saying that, maybe finally the worm is starting to turn a little bit.
It could very well be. I remember him saying that maybe the whistleblowers have been saying something, you know. Maybe they should start listening to the whistleblowers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still wouldn't trust Jake Tapper.
No,
really.
No.
He, you know, CNN is like, yeah. The Communist News Network, Pravda used to be.
I notice CNN's got a lot of the ABC News rejects.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
Yeah,
in fact, a lot of the people, well, we know this, the ones that were in the Biden administration or the Obama administration end up having their own shows on MSNBC and CNN. What's her name? I used to call her Peppermint Patty.
Peppermint Patty, yeah. Big Red.
Big Red. Doesn't she have her own show on?
She has her own show on MSNBC.
Yeah, she used to be the spokesman for Joe Biden, press secretary.
Yep.
So there you go.
Oh, no, you're talking about Bandcamp. The one that said, we're going to circle back to that one. We'll circle back.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll circle back.
She was the one from one
circling
time.
Circling back. She was always circling back.
But she's from the movie American Pie. When the one girl gives this one time at band camp.
Oh.
That's her.
Well, anyway, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Angelo. How's your brother doing? Have you talked with him?
The other day I talked to him. He's doing better. You can.
We talked with him.
Slowing is going down. He's doing pretty good.
We had him on Friday, and he sounded pretty good, but he was not feeling 100%.
No, I said it's going to take a while, you know. I said maybe we should. We never had our tonsils taken out, you know, when we were kids.
Do you think it has something? Because For those of you that know Andrew the Master Barber, he has a little bit of a throat irritation. And had we have we ever decided what it is that is bothering him?
I don't know. I would think that it's what they call tonsillitis, you know?
Oh, okay.
That the tonsils can get infected and everything like that. Years ago, when we were kids, they used to take them out.
They would take them out.
And we never, my brothers and I, we never had our tonsils taken out.
Yeah. Well, I think they finally came around to the idea that you didn't need to take them out.
Right.
But anyway, always a pleasure to talk with you, Angelo. Thank you so much, my friend. Have a great week.
You're welcome. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Oh, always our pleasure. All right. Come take our break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the oldest current members in Congress.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. Freedom Works. Thank you so very, very much for listening to us. We really mean that. And by the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we're delighted that you would join us. But we know you can have things to do, and maybe you can't listen to us all the time. So thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on podcast. And all you have to do to listen to any of our shows, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, that's O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top, and it will open up all the shows. Ed's got them lined up with the top, most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is, the top 10, everything. Bless him. It's OurFreedomWorks.com. So, I'm just, you remember, Ed, when they'd have these science fiction movies, and some alien would come to the come to Earth, and it would seem like, at least in the movies, in the 50s, they had a lot of these, all of the different countries would stop all of their bickering, and they would kind of unite, because now they were being attacked by something from another world, right? Okay. So there might be some truth to that philosophy, that that may be the one way to unite our globe. Harvard professor Avi Leib predicts that the scientific discovery of an alien civilization, one that may potentially be billions of years old, will prompt humanity to unify. He did a wide-ranging interview that covered billions of years of history, and he said he's a trained physicist. He got his PhD from Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and he said it was, quote, arrogant of us to think that we are alone in the universe, that we don't have a neighbor out there. And I think he's probably right, that somewhere there's a life force
but not
that
here.
Has intelligence
but
we
not
just
here.
Don't know about.
No, but not here.
No, well, of course not here. But so he says there are tens of billions of planets in the Milky Way galaxy alone, and hundreds of billions of galaxies like the Milky Way in the observable universe. So there's got to be life out there.
Oh, I think there is, but I don't. Life could be anything from an organism or
no. But we're talking. I'm talking about life that's
talking about
got
green
some intelligence. I'm talking about intelligent life.
Okay. Yeah, but probably so far away. I don't think
possibly. Yes. But his point is well taken, that if we were, for some reason,
right,
to interact with another life force from another galaxy or whatever, would that not in its own way unite us?
Unless the Chinese get to him first and strike a deal.
Maybe you're right.
Well, let me tell you, I've said this for years. And because I don't believe there is in all these sightings, there's never a clear, with all the technology we've got,
we can't get a clear shot.
I
agree.
Okay.
Yep.
And if they are here, and they're flying around,
why
and they
couldn't
have
we
met,
get a clear shot?
No, but they haven't made contact with us.
Yeah, that's another
because
thing.
We all know when you go to a new place, you check in with your neighbors, find out where the good schools are,
yes,
where the best shopping is.
Sure.
And if they've been flying around here,
wouldn't they want to know?
They're not interested in us. You know.
I guess we're right. All right, before we get to our top 10, I want to talk a little sports with you, and here's something you might be interested in. Did you know that a Native American group has demanded that the Washington Commanders change back to the Redskins?
Yeah,
did you hear about that?
Yeah, I've heard, yeah.
A Native American organization.
Yes. Yeah. I thought it was a crock they had to change anyway. And let's put the Indians back, too, you know?
Cleveland Indians?
Yes.
Well, the Native American Guardian Association has encouraged fans to sign a petition designed to promote our history and put an end to cancel culture. Now, these are Native Americans. I was kind of surprised, actually.
It's because an organization wrote the Washington then Redskins an email saying they were offended. So now we got to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see any marching in the streets?
No.
Or anything like that? Or
no.
Well, it's a real protest. How about the Bud Light protest? Now, that's a protest where we're just not going to buy it.
Yeah.
So I'll just do it.
Yeah, you used your wallet. Well, this group says they've got more than 80,000 people that have signed their petition. So
the Redskins were just sold. So the owner will owner will have the option to do it.
Yeah, and he's not going to change it back.
I would.
You might, but think about him.
What about
him? Wasn't he instrumental in changing it, or was he not?
I don't believe he was.
Okay, well, maybe he might.
I don't think he was.
But it would take a lot of courage to change it back.
It would.
Yeah.
And real quickly, that story we had on the dock situation in Alabama,
tell us about that. Yes.
That the three idiots charged the one guy, charged at him, jumped him, and beat him up, and there was a big fight. It got to be a racial thing, black and white, blah, 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 blah,
yes,
blah. Well, you know, a GoFundMe has been put together for the guy that got jumped. He's at
a black man.
Yeah, he's $270,000 right now.
Wow!
And
I have to look up that story.
He's charged with being in that fight. I think he was defending himself.
Yeah,
they should drop the charges and leave the guy alone.
Yeah,
leave him alone.
What was what kindled the problem?
He moved their boat. He's the dock master, whatever. And they illegally parked their boat. He moved it.
So a group of people had a boat that they illegally parked.
In other
parked.
Words, he untied it and moved it over one, and they were upset.
And they went after him. Okay, got it.
And they jumped him. So
fair enough. By the way, real quickly, how did the Bucks do in their first exhibition game?
Horrible.
Did they?
Yeah, they just looked flat.
Did they?
They looked flat. And our Rays won 2 out of 3 against the Guardians.
That's pretty good.
Well, we got a problem.
Yeah. What?
Our little player that had his little hissy fit.
Yeah.
it came out last night that he could possibly be having a relationship with a minor.
Oh, no.
So they not only
scratching
for the game,
he might be kicked
but sitting
out
in the dugout baseball halfway through, they packed his bags.
Well, if it's true and he's having a relationship with a minor, they may kick him out of baseball.
Well, he's from the Dominican Republic. Not that it's an excuse, but people down there get married at 14 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's from the DR.
I don't know enough about this.
We don't. I'm just saying it's out there.
Okay. All right, Ed. We're going to give you both the House and the Senate with their oldest current members, okay?
Oh, boy.
Today, we're going to give the House, okay? And then on Wednesday, we'll give the Senate, all right? So here we go. These are the oldest current members in the House of Representatives. Number 10, John Carter. He's a Texas Republican, and he's 81 years old, okay? 81 years old. Number 9, Danny Davis. He's an Illinois Democrat, African-American. He's just a little bit older. He's also 81, but he's a little bit older than John Carter. Number 7, Nancy Pelosi, your favorite.
Hello, Nancy.
She's still there from California, Democrat. Good old Nancy, and her teeth are 82 years old.
Her teeth would be younger because she gets them changed out every year.
That's true. I think you're right. Number 7, James Clyburn. James Clyburn is also 82. He is a Democrat from South Carolina. Number 6. This is, Sherry Hoyer. No, Sheni Hoyer. What am I saying? Sheni Hoyer. Sheni Hoyer is a Democrat from Maryland, and Sheni is 83 years young. Number 5. Another friend of ours, Maxine Waters from California.
Oh, yeah.
This is a Democrat, Maxine. Didn't she say, she's the one kept saying, impeach 45.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's 84 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Number 4, Harold Rogers, a Republican out of Kentucky. Harold is 85 years old. Number 3, Eleanor Holmes Norton. She is the Washington, D.C. congressman. She is 85 years old. Number 2, Bill Parcell Jr., that is. Wasn't there a Bill Parcell football coach?
Yeah, Giants.
Is this his son?
No, because he would be senior. Bill Parcells is probably 80.
Well, you're right about that. Bill Parcell Jr. has got to be someone else. He's 85. Yeah. He's a Democrat out of New Jersey. All right. So here we go. I don't think you have any idea, but I'll ask you anyway. Do you know who the oldest member of the House is?
I don't know.
I would not have known this, okay? But his name, or her name, is Grace Napolitano. Grace Napolitano is 86 years old. She is a Democrat out of California. I wonder if she makes any more sense than Biden does.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's pretty old, though, isn't it? To be that old,
well,
86 years old and still be
but
in Congress.
Some are different. One in,
yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, one at 80 could be someone better,
oh, no,
better than
agree.
60. You know?
Yeah, and I've heard a 100-year-old that are
and
sharp
even,
as a tack. Really?
Pelosi's an idiot, but she's still there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so very much, everybody. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, be good and remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3